tukaj dogaja? Kaj so to naredili? Meni nič ne gre skupaj. Kaj je sploh tukaj fora? Oh, zdaj končno štekam.
Štekar, oddaja za stresanje političnih možgan.
Štekaš palestinske kolaborante. Po začetku izraelskega genocidnega pohoda v Gazi so Združene države Amerike podprle načrt, po katerem bi po koncu invazije upravo v enklavi prevzela reformirana palestinska oblast, ki zdaj upravlja z delom Zahodnega brega. Vodi jo palestinska stranka Fatah, politična nasprotnica Hamasa. Predsednik palestinske oblasti Mahmud Abbas je tako zamenjal premijeja in več ministrov. Hamas je konec prejšnjega meseca tudi obtožil palestinsko oblast, da je v Gazo že poslala svoje varnostno osebje. V luči dogodkov je treba še enkrat preučiti nastanek sedanjega Fataha in palestinske oblasti, ter se vprašati, kakšna je njuna pozicija v palestinskem osvobodilnem boju. Stranko Fatah zahodni mediji slikajo kot sekularno alternativo islamskemu Hamasu. Ampak glavna razlika med Hamasom in Fatahom, ki vodi palestinsko oblast na Zahodnem bregu, je v odnosu do Izraela. Fatah je kot gverilsko skupino pod vodstvom Jaserja Arafata ustanovila palestinska diaspora v Kuvajtu leta 1959. Palestinska osvobodilna organizacija, znana kot PLO, je zdaj vladajoča koalicija palestinske oblasti, ki jo vodi Fatah kot politična stranka. PLO pa je nastala kot ločena organizacija, ustanovljena v Kairu leta 1964, katere vodstvo je Fatah prevzel. Obe sta bili v začetku odporniški gibanji. Njun razvoj predstavi Erling Lorenzen Soge, predavatelj bližnje vzhodnih študij na Univerzi v Oslu.
So the PLO was originally a different entity. It had been created by the Arab states to kind of put pressure on Israel. It was not really under Palestinian control. But eventually these small guerrilla groups like Fatah and others, they took control of the PLO from within. And by 1969, a guerrilla movement like Fatah had taken control of the PLO. And the leader of Fatah, which was Yasser Arafat, also became the leader of the PLO. And at the time, the organization was primarily militarily engaged against Israel from its base in Lebanon. So in Palestine, in the occupied territories in the West Bank and in Gaza at this point, it is difficult for actors like the PLO to operate because there is an Israeli military administration there that prevents any sort of nationalist activity. But there is an uprising against the Israeli occupation in 1987. Which the PLO did not start. It didn't have any part in it, but it eventually managed to kind of take control of this uprising, of this intifada against the occupation. And sort of direct it. And this was also what pushed Israel to the negotiation table, this uprising in the occupied territories. So the Palestinians, the PLO, and Israel engaged in negotiations, which, you know, led to the Oslo Peace Accords signed on the White House lawn in 1993.
Prvi oselski sporazum je PLO z okupatorsko izraelsko vlado podpisala leta 1993 v Washingtonu, drugega pa v Tabi v Egiptu. Poimenovana sta po norveškem kraju pogajanj. Sporazumoma se je PLO odpovedala oboroženemu boju proti Izraelu in ga priznala kot državo na ozemlju nekdanje britanske mandatne Palestine, razen v Gazi in na Zahodnem bregu. Izrael na drugi strani ni priznal Palestine kot države, ampak zgolj palestinsko osvobodilno organizacijo kot partnerja v pogajanjih. Palestinska stran je dobila le delno upravo na okupiranih ozemljih v obliki tako imenovane palestinske oblasti, ki naj bi do dokončnega oblikovanja palestinske države predstavljala začasno palestinsko upravo na okupiranih ozemljih. S tem je palestinska osvobodilna organizacija sprejela tudi okupacijo. Razloge PLO za sprejem takega dogovora pojasni Soge.
For the leadership of the PLO and Fatah at this point, they were marginalized. They did not have a significant presence in the West Bank or the Gaza Strip or in Palestine at this point. They had lost their territories, also their base in Lebanon, and had been, they were based in Tunis, basically, where they were under a lot of government scrutiny. So I think that they saw this chance, this uprising that happened, this intifada that took place in the territories, it gave the PLO a chance to become politically relevant again and to sort of assume a role. But I don't think that the PLO leadership or Fatah at this point had any illusion that they would be able to liberate the entirety of Palestine through armed struggle. You know, that was just not going to happen. So I think that a very pressured PLO leadership at this point, they realized that this is probably the best opportunity we're going to get to enter into peace negotiations over a two-state solution with Israel. But of course, this is an unpopular decision, you know, for many Palestinians.
Po oselskih sporazumih ustanovljena palestinska oblast je organizirana podobno kot državna oblast, svojo vlado, parlamentom in sodstvom. Parlamenta od leta 2007, potem ko je na volitvah zmagal Hamas, ni. Predsednik Abbas vlada z odloki. Realne oblasti nad ozemljem pod njeno nominalno oblastjo pa palestinska oblast nima.
It is a political administration. It kind of function as a government. But it is not a Palestinian state. It is not the same thing as a Palestinian state. It was created in 1994 in order to kind of create the basis for a future Palestinian state, you know? So the Oslo Accords were supposed to last 5 years, you know, like the parties in 1993, they only really agreed that they would enter into negotiations over borders, over the refugee question, the status of Jerusalem, and all these sorts of things. So the PA was created with the intention of maybe in the future having an administration that could turn into a future Palestinian state if one managed to agree on borders. But of course, at the time of its creation, insofar that it was shaped as a political administration, it didn't really have any control over its borders, right? It didn't have full control over its economy either. It was largely dependent on Western and Arab states to pay salaries. So one can kind of best describe it as an administration without a state, right? And it also had security forces, but a big part of the Oslo Accords was that we're supposed to be security coordination between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. So it's shaped kind of like a state, but it doesn't have the same authority as a state.
Palestinska oblast ima svojo paravojsko in policijo, skupaj znani kot palestinske nacionalne varnostne sile, ki svojo opremo dobivata od Izraela. Z izraelskimi silami sodeluje pri izvajanju represije v palestinskih rezervatih na Zahodnem bregu. To je glavni razlog, da palestinska oblast velja za kolaborantsko institucijo. Poleg tega, da sta podlaga za njeno ustanovitev in delovanje sporazuma, ki sta dala okupaciji videz legalnosti in palestinskega privoljenja.
Security coordination means basically that the Palestinian security forces that are primarily based in parts of the West Bank that are designated Area A according to the Oslo Accords, that they're supposed to coordinate security measures with the Israeli authorities regarding any sort of security incidents. They're supposed to report to the Israeli Defense Forces. And what frequently happens nowadays, if the Israeli Defense Forces, which in reality, like in de facto reality, have full control over the West Bank at this point, like if they want to go somewhere or carry out an arrest operation or carry out any type of military or organization operation, I mean, then the Palestinian security forces will withdraw and the Israeli forces enter. And this is something that has become very unpopular with many Palestinians. And typically many Palestinians blame the PA and particularly its security forces as functioning as kind of a placeholder for the occupation. Part of this deal, particularly after the mass revolt that is called the Second Intifada, is that Palestinian security forces in the West Bank have been used actively to crack down on Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but also to some extent other oppositional movements, even within Fatah. So a typical allegation that Palestinians accuse the PA of is that the security forces are used actively to sort of subdue political opposition, and that the security forces function as a placeholder for the occupation, that it's doing the dirty work of Israel, basically. I think that it's more to it than that, but I can definitely understand why people make this accusation.
Prvotni voditelj Fataha Yasser Arafat je palestinsko oblast vodil do smrti. Mahmud Abbas iz stranke Fatah je na predsedniškem mestu nasledil Arafata po predsedniških volitvah leta 2005. Hamas, ki je imel zaradi njenega udinjanja Izraelu konflikten odnos s palestinsko avtoriteto, je bojkotiral predsedniške volitve. Na parlamentarnih volitvah leta 2006 pa je sodeloval in zmagal s programom odpora proti Izraelu. Voditelj Hamasa, Ismail Hanija, je takrat postal premier palestinske oblasti. A predsednik Abbas ga je z odlokom odstavil, saj ni pristal na priznanje Izraela skladno z oselskima sporazumoma. Sledila je vojna med obema palestinskima strankama, po kateri je palestinska oblast spet padla v roke Fataha, tako da se njena politika tudi po tej Hamasovi volilni intervenciji ni spremenila. Hamas je po vojni ločeno od palestinske oblasti svoje aktivnosti skoncentriral v Gazi. Abbas si je leta 2009, ko bi se mu moral mandat izteči, tega najprej za eno leto podaljšal, kmalu pa dobil mandat za neomejeno obdobje. Predsedniških in parlamentarnih volitev od takrat na okupiranih območjih ni bilo.
In 2007, we had a mini civil war between Hamas and Fatah, you know, where both parties tried to form a Palestinian unity government, but then the world, by and large, put a lot of pressure on Hamas and the project collapsed. And it ended with a civil war between Hamas and Fatah, which also resulted in a geographical split between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, because Hamas took control of the Gaza Strip at this point and has been in charge of it until now. And the PA, with Fatah at the helm, naturally, basically stayed put in the West Bank. And none of the donor states that support the government, you know, functions and or the security forces of the PA has in any notable degree sort of put pressure on the PA to reform or, you know, to hold elections. So there's not a lot of pressure on the PA to have new national elections. There's no incentive really to have that for the Palestinian leadership at this point. So the same leaders have stayed put. And Mahmoud Abbas, as you said, is still considered the president of the PA, even though his presidential period formally ended in 2009. So that is a part of the problem. But now There's also a bigger problem is how do you hold national elections between the West Bank and the Gaza Strip? Is there any thing that sort of prevents Israel from clamping down on the victor? For example, if Hamas was supposed to win, Israel and the donor society would just never accept that. And it would just be very difficult to have a legitimately elected administration. And there was an attempt in 2021 where Fatah and Hamas presumably agreed on the procedures to hold national elections for the first time since 2005, 2006. But yeah, the attempt collapsed.
Zahodni breg je po oselskih sporazumih razdeljen na tri cone. V coni A ima palestinska oblast formalno polno oblast. V coni B ima civilni nadzor, vojaški in policijski nadzor pa izvaja Izrael. Cono C Izrael okupira neposredno, obsega pa 61% ozemlja Zahodnega brega in je tudi z resursi najbolj bogat del te regije. Dostop do nje je za palestince omejen, zaseda pa jo okrog 500 000 izraelskih naseljencev. Območja pod upravo palestinske oblasti so enklave, obkoljene in med seboj ločene z izraelsko cono C. Gradnja palestinske države na temelju palestinske avtoritete, ki ne nadzira niti prehoda iz ene enklave v drugo, je tako povsem nerealna. Soge.
Since the PA was created, like as I said, you know, it has by and large lacked both territorial sovereignty and economic autonomy, and the PA has often found itself subordinate to Israeli decisions and remained dependent on Western and Arab donors to pay salaries. So while the Oslo process did not guarantee much in terms of Palestinian statehood, it gave the PLO, Fatah, and also the PA leadership exponential access to donor-backed funds to sort of co-opt and sideline the Palestinian opposition. And that's basically been the dynamic since the creation of the PA. It doesn't have the ability to turn into a Palestinian state, because if you look at the map of how the West Bank looks today, it's full of settlements. Like, where would you put the state? You know, so it is an authority that is being funded to sort of function as a preliminary administration awaiting to be a state. That probably cannot happen. And so there's no incentive to reform politically, you know, within this administration. There's basically no external party or donor or anybody that takes part in organizing the PA that has the will or ability to push for elections or reform.
Palestinska avtoriteta je za Zahod edina sprejemljiva palestinska politična organizacija. Teoretično državo Palestino bi podprli samo kot osamosvojitev te entitete, saj Hamas in palestinski islamski džihad obravnavajo kot teroristični organizaciji. Ampak palestinska oblast nima podlage za državnost. Da jim bo postopoma predajala nadzor nad preostankom Zahodnega brega, je palestinski osvobodilni organizaciji izraelsko vodstvo obljubilo s figo v žepu. V primeru, da bi po koncu izraelske genocidne ofenzive upravljanje Gaze prevzela palestinska oblast pod vodstvom Mahmuda Abasa, kot predvidevajo Američani, to ne bi moglo pomeniti drugega od okupacije Gaze z drugačnimi sredstvi kot doslej. Štekar je pripravil Matej.
Ej, a ti zlah kje razumeš?
Ja, kakšno reč že, ne?
Eno?
Če mi trikrat kdo razloži, pa že zaštetim.
Tako.